meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. Thank you for joining us here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And pray that you have had a wonderful, wonderful September and that God is leading you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God in beautiful Merritt Island, Florida. And we would love, if you do not have a church home, for you to come and check Merit Assembly of God out. Who knows? It could be your future church home. You need a church home. I'm telling you, with the way things are going, the change in the spiritual dynamic in America over the past few decades has been noticeable and dramatic. And I tell people, this is not the time to be playing games. It's not the time to be playing how much can I get by with. Now is the time for us to be very, very serious about our walk with Jesus and very, very serious about reaching our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our church, Merit Assembly of God, is located at 165 North Grove Street. We're two blocks north of 520 and two blocks west of Courtney Parkway on Merritt Island. And we would love to see what God can do in us and through us to be a blessing to our community. So with that being said, we're going to go to Acts chapter 11 today. Acts chapter 11, we have started touching on this point of contention that when Peter had been to Cornelius' house, when he got back to Jerusalem, there were some people that were not happy with him. And so they brought in the argument and says, "You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them." That is in verse number 3. I'm going to read a few passages here. We're not going to go into those into a lot of detail because of the fact that it repeats things that we discussed in chapter 10. In verse number 4, it says, "But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house, and where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Verse 12. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. These guys that caused this problem, they did so because they did not have all of the facts. One of my favorite verses to quote, to refer to, is a passage in the book of Proverbs And it goes along these lines. The first person to present his case seems right until the other person steps up to tell their case. And you can see that in court, that we have high-profile cases and things like that, where all of the evidence seems to be pointing one direction, and then all of a sudden a witness steps up there and shares things that completely unravel the first point of view that was presented. We are called to make judgments when we have all of the facts. And so for me, when it says judge not lest you be judged, I don't want to put Bob's standard in there. I want to put the Word of God standard in there. And God is the ultimate judge. He is the perfect judge, the supreme judge. And that's because he has all of the facts. When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they were wandering through the wilderness, and then they cross over into the promised land, God said, okay, I want you to take a bunch of stones out of the river when you walk through on dry ground, because I'm going to have you build an altar, and it's going to be a witness between you and me about this covenant that we have been walking in. When Jacob fled from Laban, they also set a heap of rocks in its place so that there would be a witness that such a thing had taken place, that they were not going to cross that to harm one another. You and I, we need to have all of the facts, and we need to have an accurate witness of these things. So there were 2.5 tribes that did not cross over into the promised land. Well, what they did was they created a duplicate altar, and the children of Israel that crossed over to the promised land, this would be in the book of Joshua, they were not happy. They said, don't do this. We've already spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. Don't be abandoning God. They said, oh no, that's not why we did this. We did this so that we could say, look, in case you all forget about who we are, we haven't forgotten. This altar looks just like the altar that you have, as proof that we are part of the covenant people as well. So God is a witness, and we have, you know, our life that we've lived and the battles we've gone through, and all of those things comprise our testimony. And so we need to make sure that we are anchored to the Word of God, so that, first of all, we don't let our emotions become the standard. I mean, how many people are listening and you can evaluate and say, you know what, I spoke, but my brain hadn't engaged, and I tried to reach out there and grab those words and take them back, but my emotions controlled my mouth, not faith controlling my mouth, and I made an unrighteous judgment, and boy, do I wish I hadn't said that. You see, we see all sorts of unrighteous judgments going on here in America all the time. Well, it's okay when I do it, but it's not okay when you do it. Well, that's not a righteous standard. Plain and simple, it's not a righteous standard. So, you and I, if we're going to make a decision about something, if we're going to get into a disagreement, we'd better make sure that we get all of the facts. Peter goes on here, and it says that he began to, it says, but Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning. Okay, so Peter isn't contentious. He is in an explanation mode. In the book of Jude, it talks about believers who blaspheme things that they do not understand. That means that they speak evil about things that they do not understand. They complain about things that they do not understand. So sometimes it's not that there is a squabble or an argument that needs to take place, sometimes a rational explanation will suffice. Now, if a person is not willing to listen to a explanation of God's direction, of God's word, you know, it reminds me of the saying that I read on a restaurant sign many years ago, never argue with a fool. People may not be able to tell which one of you is which. So you and I, we need to come at the situation from an explanation point of view, not and say, well, I'm going to throw gasoline on this fire and it's getting ready to get intense really quick in here. Sometimes it's just a simple explanation. And so that's what Peter begins to do. He begins to explain it, and he tells them about the vision. He tells them about the men showing up from Caesarea. And he says in verse number 11, at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. I want to talk about the six brethren first. And you can see repeatedly in Scripture, not exclusively, but predominantly, God would send ministers out in an accountability relationship. I don't know if Peter was thankful for the brethren that he took with him to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10, but I can tell you he was very thankful for them in Acts chapter 11, because he took people with him that knew him, people who understood, had been there when the invitation came. They were there during the journey. They were there when the Holy Spirit was poured out. They were there when people were saved. They were there when people were baptized. And so I want to try and communicate to you that the relationships that we have in the body of Christ are highly valuable. Here in our modern times, where relationships are sometimes treated disposably, it's very important to remember how important one another is. One of the things that I declare over our congregation is that each of them as an individual is a gift from God to Brevard County. If you've got a Christian in your life, they are a gift from God. If you've got a wife, the Bible says, "Who finds a wife finds a good thing." She's a precious gift. I've never understood why people want to take precious and priceless gifts from God and treat them like rejects from the secondhand store. So I have, you know, I take it upon myself to have the privilege of teasing people sometimes whenever I'm meeting them for the first time. If they happen to be wearing a shirt or a cap that represents a team that I'm not real fond of, and there are many of those out there, so I will say, "Oh, did you find that at the secondhand store? Did you find that at the thrift store?" And then we go on and we have our discussion about our sports passions and things like that. And I let them know, I said, "Look, I'm just messing with you." I said, "My teams have won championships and lost championships, and it didn't change my reality one bit. But I have a Savior who won a spiritual battle for me, and it changed my eternity." So I just kind of throw that out there as an icebreaker, if you will. But I've known people that just berated their children, and you know, their children lived under an umbrella of condemnation and declarations of worthlessness. That's not training up a child in the way that they should go. I've known people that treated their employees horribly. I mean, verbally assaulting them in front of customers. And it's like, that's not the way that should go. I would never work for a person like that. I've known people that talked to their spouses and talked about their spouses, and they thought that their job was to embarrass and humiliate their spouse so sufficiently that nobody would want to have anything to do with them. And, you know, pretty soon those relationships all dissolve. I will tell you that I have been guilty of making decisions or making statements where I didn't have all of the information. We talked about that. But I tell you what I also have done. I've gone back on more than one occasion and said, look, I'm so sorry. New information came to light that you didn't tell me. I just happened to find out. I'm so sorry. Please accept my sincerest apologies. Because I don't think that people are to be discarded, embraced and discarded very casually. I think relationships are serious. I know they're serious to God, and they should be serious to us. And when it comes to ministry, we need those accountable relationships. I am so thankful that I am not part of an independent church. I'm part of a movement because I have a superintendent that is over me that has great experience, a great relationship with God, great wisdom, great discernment, and I treat him as a great gift from God to myself and to Merit Assembly of God. He is a blessing from God, and if we started looking at people like that and saying, look, they're not here to hinder ministry. They're here to make ministry successful. And so too many people hide behind, a lack of accountability. And Peter, when he's brought up before the council, he said, okay, y'all know me. You know these six guys here. We all went in this together. And, you know, they can tell you that what I'm declaring to you is true. Before that, he said, the Spirit told me to go with them doubting nothing. So we need to be sensitive to what God says. And we need to understand that when we go in faith. And that means God's never going to lead me badly. So that's why it's important to be able to discern the Spirit, to discern what is actually going on. Which voice are we listening to? So if we're listening to the wrong voice, we're not going to get the right results. And I've learned that the hard way. And so I've got a friend in my life, and I value him. He's very smart, and he has a great sense of humor. And so whenever I have something that the Spirit of God is stirring up inside of me, I go to him and I ask him, and I do this particularly if it's something that I've never heard and I've never really pondered before, rather than just automatically blurting that out, I use that gentleman as a sounding board because he knows the word of God. And I said, okay, we have one goal in this conversation, and that is to make sure that Bob isn't a heretic. That's the goal. Okay? We want to make sure that we are in line with the word of God, with the will of God, so that we can go forth in faith expecting the fruit of God to manifest in our situation, in this message that I preach. So, verse number 13, it says, and he told us how he had, let me drop back up to verse number 12 just a minute. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Now, there was in that time frame a great deal of disdain for anybody that was not of Jewish culture, you know. And so there was the woman, the Canaanite woman, and there was a description given of her that she was considered to be like the family dog and the pet dog. And Jesus, by the end of that, he made this declaration: woman, you have great faith. No matter what anybody else has told you, no matter what names they have tried to call you. I was recently in a in an abnormal week. I got several invitations to go to lunch over a five day span. I normally either pack my lunch or eat a very minimal lunch, and I was at one restaurant twice and another restaurant twice over a period of 5 days. And I heard one of the customers just speaking horrible things at this person that I, you know their name, and they know my name, and they know what I normally order and all of that sort of stuff, and just berated them. And I was like, I felt really horrible for that young lady. And so I went over and I said, don't believe what they said. Don't allow another person's declaration to lower your value in life. So like Jesus said to that Canaanite or Syrophoenician woman, woman, great is your faith. He says to another person at another time, woman, you are free from your infirmity. Thou art loosed. Here he said, we went to the man's house. Yes, he was a Roman, but he's a man that Jesus died for. Please don't look at people through the labels of a sinful society. Look at people through the lenses of God's loving sacrifice on the cross. Because men and women and boys and girls deserve to hear about Jesus. They deserve to hear about Jesus. So in verse number 14, it says, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. Let me say this. Preaching the word of God is important. I don't care what anybody has to say that may be contrary to that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Preaching the word of God, teaching the word of God is very important. And for those words to be communicated, there needs to be a preacher, and Peter was sent so that he would tell Cornelius the words that would result in him getting saved, which would result in his household getting saved, which would result in his friends getting saved, and it would bring spiritual truth to a church that needed an enhanced perspective. Please remember that going to church is not just about an emotional experience. Although we're all emotional beings, God created our emotions, we need to keep them under God's control. That's pretty good. You might want to go back and listen to that and write it down. Our emotions were created by God, and they need to be under God's control, because God knows we've used our emotions under the devil's control way too often, and we need to reverse that trend. The goal is not just to have an emotional experience. It's not to have a God, just to have a God encounter. It's meant for us to recognize that He's our Savior. He's our only Savior, and for people to get saved. I look at the way that the population of the world is growing and the population of believers, and see, we're losing ground. I don't believe that's the plan of God. I look at the population of Florida, how it is growing, and the church is losing ground. And I don't believe that that's the will of God either. The church needs to be about introducing people to Jesus so that they can be saved, so that they can put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can become disciples and followers of Jesus. That's what it's all about. Transformation, life transformation, because of who Jesus is what all of us desperately need to be in the business of. I can tell you the rich guy who died the same day that Lazarus, the poor beggar, died, he wasn't in hell very long before he realized, I don't want my family coming here. I remember preaching as a youth pastor and say, look, He's one of the greatest inspirations of why you want to reach your friends. You don't want to wait until it's too late. May God bless you. May you have a thrilling Thursday in the presence of the Lord. And we will see you right here tomorrow on the Refresh Radio program on WMIE.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
For the sake of my heart, the sake of my soul.